Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Yeah. Take a seat. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, for the tithes and offerings that come into this house. And Lord, we just declare that they will be used to advance the kingdom of God in this place, in this nation, in the nations. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Excellent. Okay. All ready?
Yeah.
Good. So obviously last week we started with a brief intro to this month's series, hashtag blessed. I was hashtag blessed when I got a text this morning from Pastor Lynn saying, have a hashtag blessed Sunday. So there we go. Awesome. Yeah, so don't worry about the hashtag. If you're not on Twitter, just kind of ignore that bit. The word blessed is the bit that you need to be concerned about. So I started to bring a bit of an introduction last Sunday about this whole thing of being blessed and who doesn't want to be blessed. And, you know, there's so many different meanings of the word blessed. It can mean holy, it can mean happy. And there's a point of, like, do we call the series happy rather than blessed? And then every week we could have Pharrell's Because I'm Happy. But we opted for blessed instead. Sorry for those of you that love Despicable Me. But we've gone with blessed. And we were looking last week just briefly at this word blessed and the whole point of it being a word. Wow, that's massive. Blessed in a big way, and it being something of having a supernatural power working for you.
Yes.
And as I was saying last week, it's not a kooky thing or a weird thing. It's something of having a supernatural power working for you, having a supernatural God who is a powerful God, who spoke the creation into being, who spoke the universe into being, who created you, now dwelling on the inside of you.
Yeah.
If you are saved and you are filled with the Spirit, you have God on the inside of you, have the fullness of God on the inside of you. You are blessed to be carrying the fullness of grace, the fullness of truth, the fullness of everything which Jesus said we would have, we have. And we often pray out of habit, and we often speak things out. We say, God, give me more power, or give me more of this. And fact of the matter is, he can't give us any more than he already has. We have the fullness of God on the inside of us. When we think of the fullness of God, you think of the immensity of the universe. You think of the universe that's even expanding as we talk now. Ever since God spoke those words, let there be light, the universe has continued to grow and go out. And we are a blessed people because we have a God on the inside of us. And the fullness of God, not a measure, but a fullness of a living God working on the inside of us. And that's mind-blowing, but we are blessed at the same time. And that supernatural power is working for each and every single one of us. That supernatural power is working in our favour. If you remember last week, it was if we obey the Lord's commands and we walk in his ways. And sometimes that's a difficult one to get our heads around, because I think, well, you know, to know how to walk in his commands requires me to find out what his commands are.
Yeah.
And we can do that by reading his word. That's kind of the easy bit. It's kind of like you just look through the scriptures, you just look through the different books of the Bible, and there's different things that come out of there. Jesus giving commands and God giving commands through the different prophets and through the different people throughout the Old Testament. And we can learn what it is to obey the Lord's commands. We can know what they are. And that's the easy side. But then the next bit is, and if you walk in the Lord's ways. That one's a little more tricky. I find that one a little more tricky because I can read how people have walked in his ways. I can kind of get an understanding as to how I'm supposed to walk in his ways. But to obey his commands is almost easy. Sometimes I quite like it when people just tell me what to do. But I find myself in a situation where, like, I haven't got a clue what I'm doing. Please, somebody just tell me what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's sometimes needed. So when I look in, I think, I'm going to be blessed if I obey the Lord's commands. What are the Lord's commands? Okay, I do this, this, and this. Check, I'm blessed. Now walk in his ways. Okay, how does that look? How does it look for me in the 21st century walking in the way of the Lord? Because I can look at some of the people in the Bible. I can look at the ways these people walked. And I can think, I just don't know how I'm going to do that. How am I going to walk in the Lord's ways, dressed in animal skins, eating wild honey and eating locusts when walking through the streets of Boston? But John the Baptist was walking in the Lord's ways in a time that was right for him and the call that was right on his life. And he was blessed. Yes. He was blessed. He followed the Lord's commands. He obeyed the Lord's commands. And he walked in the Lord's ways. And he was blessed. So I can look at that and think, great, John the Baptist was blessed from doing that. Chances are I won't be blessed. Neither will anybody else. If I'm walking through the streets of Boston in bearskins, eating locusts, or eating, you know, we came close last weekend with the Africa Stand and the grasshoppers. My dad came up to me afterwards saying, I don't reckon much to those grasshoppers. They weren't supposed to be like a delicacy. It wasn't like a, you know, it's not like hog roast and grasshoppers. You know, it's like, you know, it was just to give you a feel of Africa and the kind of, you know, the kind of stuff. And, you know, it's like, I wouldn't be a blessing to, it wouldn't be a blessing to anybody. I wouldn't be blessed. So for me, it's like figuring out, how do I walk in the Lord's ways then? How do we, in a 21st century church, as a believer in Jesus, walk in the way of the Lord? Walk in the Lord's way. How do we be blessed? Because we can be blessed 50% by obeying, but then there's another command there, isn't there? There's a, to walk in his ways as well, and we want to see the wholeness of that released. And there's a great story, whatever you want to call it, story, account in the book of Joshua about when the guys of the Israelites have just crossed over the Jordan. They've had their amazing victory in at Jericho, and then things have gone a little tricky in Ai, where kind of somebody was disobeying the Lord and kind of went against the Lord's ways, and the whole thing kind of went a bit of a mess. Put it right, God was able to restore it. But then the next thing that happened with those people is that there were some tricky folk in the Promised Land who'd heard what God had been speaking to Moses and speaking to Joshua and speaking to the Israelites. And some of you will be aware of the account in Deuteronomy where God spoke and said, when you cross into the Promised Land, you're not to negotiate and make peace treaties with any of the people in the land. You go and you wipe them out. And some of the people in the Promised Land picked up on this, and they were scared. And they were running scared and they were fearful. And they thought up a plan of deception. And these were the Gibeonites, the tribe of the Gibeonites. And they'd heard what God had said to Moses. They'd heard that Joshua was now the leader and Joshua was following those same things. And they'd heard that God had said, when you get there, don't make peace treaties, don't negotiate, you just wipe them out. Only offer peace treaties to the nations surrounding and the places from further lands. And if they decide to become at peace with you, then they become your water carriers, your woodcutters, and they'll serve you as a nation. But the Gibeonites had picked up on this and they knew it was happened. So they thought up this plan, which on their part was an amazing plan. Yeah. Really, they thought up this. Said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to trick Joshua and the Israelites into thinking we're from a distant land. And because if they know that we're from where we are, they're going to kill us. You know, who knows that when you think someone's going to kill you, you start thinking up some good plans. Your mind starts to, okay, what can we do here? What happens here? What do I need to do this? You know, so they were thinking up and they come up with this, and, you know, yes, it was a plan of deception, but on their part, it was a very strategic plan. They said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to send some people to Joshua and the Israelites and the leaders, strap old sandals onto their feet, dress them in old clothes, put old cracked wineskins on their horses, give them mouldy bread, and make it look as when they arrive to Joshua's camp, the people of Israel will see them and they can say, we've travelled from a distant land. Look, our shoes are worn out, our clothes are worn out, our bread's mouldy, our wineskins have cracked. When we set out, these shoes were new, these clothes were new. This bread was fresh and hot out of the oven. These wineskins were fresh. And they tricked Joshua and the Israelites into thinking, we've travelled from a distant land, we're so tired, we're so weary, all our things are messed up, because these were all brand new things when we left. And that's the plan that they come up with. So they set out with all this stuff, and they went before and said, we've travelled from a distant land, we've heard that you will make a peace treaty with people from a distant land, so we want to make peace with you. And Joshua asked the question, which is a great question, and great leaders ask great questions, which was, how do I know you're telling me the truth? How do I know that you are from a distant land? How do I know that what you're telling me is true? And they said, well, just check our stuff. Check our food. Check we've brought with us. This was hot out of the oven when we set off. These wineskins were fresh when we set off. And you know, wineskins, for those who don't know, they used to carry the wine in skins, and eventually they would crack as they got old and become useful. They didn't have a nice bottle of Shiraz back in those days, or a Cabernet Sauvignon, you know, you're kind of walking along with some nice, you know, Jacob's Creek strapped to the horses or something. You know, they had wineskins, and the wineskins would eventually age and they would eventually crack. And so Joshua said, I can trust you. And they said, check our stuff. You know, this was fresh when we set off. This was, and they're working their plan all the time, working their plan of deception to trick them. And we're going to go to a scripture in Joshua now, which is going to appear on the screen. And it says, so the Israelites examined their food, but they did not consult the Lord. The Israelites examined their food, but they did not consult the Lord. And there's so much we can draw out of that one sentence with regards to walking in the Lord's ways, obeying his commands, as a result, being blessed. And hands up if you want to be blessed. Say amen if you want to be blessed.
Amen.
That's good. I'm guessing everybody here wants to be blessed then.
Yeah.
Now, so they checked their food. So Joshua's asked this question, how do I know I can trust you? How do I know that what you're saying is true? Mm-hmm. Check our food. So the Israelites did exactly that. They checked their food. Now, the problem with that is, and this is something that we're probably all guilty of at some point, they looked at it on a very shallow level, mm-hmm. on a very superficial, shallow level, to think, oh yeah, okay, we'll check the food. Oh yeah, the bread is mouldy. The wineskins are cracked. They must be telling the truth. And how often do we find ourselves in a situation where we check the situation, we check that the bread's okay, we check that the wine's okay, to use that metaphor, we check that the situation's okay, but we kind of forget that we've got a supernatural power who's wanting to work for us. A supernatural God that wants to work in our favour. And we sometimes forget that. And well, maybe it's just me, but I sometimes forget that I have a supernatural God who's wanting me to consult him all the time on things, who's wanting me to check things out with him all the time. And we're all guilty at times, I'm sure. If you're not, you can pray for me after the service. Of sometimes looking just on a superficial, on a very shallow level, just thinking, okay, yeah, that looks good.
Yeah.
That looks great. This looks good. This sounds great. Let's go for it. And we kind of find ourselves in a tricky situation, a bit like the Israelites, because what happened with the Israelites is they made this peace treaty and said, okay, go, be at peace, we won't kill you. And then find out all about the plan and all about this deception, this trick, and they're kind of like in a situation now because God has commanded them, when you go into the land, you don't make peace treaties and you wipe out those people in the land. Apart from the women and children and livestock and the spoils, you need to keep those. But they're in a situation now where God said to do this, but they've just messed up and made a peace treaty with people. Guess they're not going to be blessed very much in that situation. So there now, the people are flapping and complaining at their leaders because they're saying, why have you done this? You know, always great to look to the people above you to have a bit of blame. they looked at them and says, they were annoyed. Why have you done this? You know that God said, this is what we're supposed to do. And now you've done the opposite. You've made a peace treaty with a tribe, with a people who are in the promised land. So they're kind of a bit in a catch-22 now of, okay, well, we can't do anything. We've made a covenant with them. We've made a covenant before our God that we will not kill you.
Yeah.
They're in a situation where they've looked on a superficial level, on a shallow level, and not consulted the Lord. Yeah. Just think how easy that situation would have been for Joshua and these leaders and those people if they'd have just looked and said, yeah, okay, something's a little bit off here. They'd have used that gift of discernment, which they had. Joshua was an amazing leader. He was an amazing strategic leader who was able to assemble the armies and was a great warrior. And he had the gift of discernment. For some reason, for whatever reason, he didn't seem to operate in the gift of discernment at this moment in time. And he just looked at it and was like, okay, fine, we'll make the peace treaty, all is good. And they missed out, and because God wasn't able to bless that. Now, the people kind of ended up, they became the woodcutters and the water carriers for the Israelites. The Gibeonites, their lives were spared, but they were summoned to the same peace treaties would have happened to nations that were further afield. They were made the water carriers and the woodcutters for the people of Israel. So in some ways it didn't turn out all bad, but the whole situation could have been far easier for Joshua, far easier for his leaders, far easier for the people of Israel had they just consulted the Lord. Yeah. Not just check the bread, not just check the wineskins, not just check the things which were kind of like, okay, let's check this out. If they had consulted the Lord. Now what was at play here is they were walking in sight and not by faith. Mm-hmm. They weren't walking by faith, they were walking by sight, and they resulted in them not being blessed. They weren't blessed in that situation because they'd walked out of something, they'd broken a covenant with God to make a covenant with somebody else. That's quite scary, actually, when you think about it. But they'd set themselves up in a situation where they'd not consulted God, they'd not been able to release that discernment and find out. Just think how easy it would be if Joshua would have said, hang on a minute, I'm just going to slip off here a little minute, I'm just going to go and pray, I'm just going to consult the Lord, I'm just going to check out what God's saying about this. And God to just say, Joshua, these people are trying to trick you, mate. You know, they're Gibeonites, they only live down the road. They're tricking you, don't make a peace treaty with them. You need to follow my command and do exactly what I've commanded you to do. Yeah. Nice and easy. For whatever reason that didn't happen, how often do we miss out on a blessing for ourselves? How often are we not blessed because we sometimes find ourselves in a situation where we make that step and then we look back and think, didn't check that one out with God, and now this situation's happening. Now, the great thing is God is the Redeemer. God is able to restore. God is able to work all things for good. God is able to ensure that even in that, He can turn it around for a blessing. Even in our disobedience, even in our times when we're not walking in the Lord's ways, even in our times when we tend to take a bit of a back step and we miss out on what God's got for us, we are still able, God's able to restore and bring that back round. And sometimes that might take longer than we expect. Sometimes that might not look how we expect it to look. But either way, God's heart is that we are blessed. He's not looking for ways to withhold the blessing. He's looking for ways to release the blessing into our lives. Amen?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Want to be blessed. Mm. He wants to release that blessing into our lives and release something of His supernatural power and be working for us in a way which just absolutely blows our mind and blows the minds of people around us. There's nothing greater than a testimony when you've been blessed to go into a situation and say, I was so blessed by God. And people are like, what do you mean you were blessed? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I was struggling with this, or I prayed for this, and it happened. That's being blessed. Now, the Israelites, their situation was turned around. You know, they ended up with the Gibeonites working for them as woodcutters and water carriers. But it could have been far easier. Joshua would have looked, okay, we can obey the Lord's commands and we can walk in His ways. How do we walk in His ways in this situation? It's all about this consulting with God all the time. If you look through the accounts of David's life in the different books, in Chronicles and Samuel, and there's countless scriptures where it always says, and David consulted the Lord, and David consulted the Lord. That's King David, the one with the lasso and the stone and kind of, or whatever you want to call it, catapult, sling, catapult, lasso, who brought down Goliath and then went on, stepped into his destiny and became the greatest king of Israel. And he constantly was consulting the Lord. It always said, there's loads of things in the different books say, and David inquired of the Lord, and David inquired of the Lord, and then David withdrew to inquire of the Lord. And he was constantly checking out with God. Okay, God, I've got this situation. What about this? I've got this situation. What about this? And he was constantly checking out with God. Obviously, those of us that are aware of the story of David know there was a couple of times that he didn't do that. That kind of ended up not so good for him. But at the same time, majority of the time, David set an amazing example of what it is to consult and inquire of the Lord.
Yeah.
And he was blessed.
Yes.
And the nation was blessed. And the people were blessed, and it released a blessing into his life, and it released a blessing into the life of his nation at that time. Now, he was setting an example of what it is to inquire and consult the Lord, and the exact thing that we need to do to ensure that we are walking in the Lord's ways, so that we can be blessed, but we need to be walking on the path of the Lord, in the ways of the Lord. And sometimes we can gain that from reading our Bible. We can gain that by going to the Word and saying, God, speak to me through this. I had a great Pastor Colin apostolic keynote where he says he has people come to him saying, God's not speaking to me. He says, just read your Bible, and he will. He already has. I was like, yeah, that's true. How guilty have I been from time to time saying, God, you're not speaking to me, when all I need to do is pick up my Bible and he's going to speak right there with the words that he's already inspired people to write into that book. Now, for us, we kind of might find ourselves in a tricky situation where we think, okay, I'm inquiring of the Lord and I'm consulting the Lord, but I just don't know what the Lord is saying. I want to be blessed and I want to see the blessing released into my life. And I'm obeying his commands, but I'm just not quite sure what is the right decision for God that God has got for me here. But that's the next step. So Joshua didn't even take that step at that point. Joshua kind of just launched off and like, yeah, bread's mouldy, wineskins are gone, the shoes are worn out, stick a pair of hush puppies on the feet and send them back with a peace treaty. It's kind of, you know, it didn't even get to that point. And my guess is that Joshua really learned his lesson in that situation, a lesson about, okay, God, I need to go to you and I need to know what you're saying, because I want to be blessed and I want my people to be blessed and I want each and every one of us to be blessed while we're in this promised land. And for us, as we tend to step into a place of saying, God, I'm consulting you, I'm going to inquire of you in every situation, I'm going to check out with you what it is that you've got for me.
Yeah.
What is it I'm supposed to do in this situation, because I don't know. How often do we find ourselves in that situation? God, help me, because I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even in this first week of being the senior pastor of the church, there's been times I've sat at my desk this week and I've sat and said, God, I just don't know what to do. And I can put my hands up and say that, because that daily I'll find myself in situations where it's like, God, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what I'm meant to do in this situation. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say in this situation. But I was blessed and am blessed because I've got that option to say, God, speak to me and give me your instruction.
Good.
Speak to me and direct me as to what I'm supposed to do. I want to be blessed and I want to see everybody else blessed,
yeah,
in whatever situation that is. So I don't want to just jump into making a decision which then turns out to be the wrong one. Now, yes, we all make the wrong decisions, we all get things wrong, and we all have a bit of a Joshua moment where we don't consult the Lord and we don't check out with the Lord, or we just don't even cross our minds and we just launch off into something and do it anyway. And that happens all the time. It happened for David, it happened for Joshua, it happens for countless people. But when we sit there and we just say, God, and we just put our hands out to God and say, I've got no idea what I'm supposed to do in this situation, I'm slightly lost, I'm slightly out of my depth, but I know that I can trust you to direct and give me,
yeah,
the direction that I need to ensure that I make a decision that sees a blessing released into my life. Do you want to be blessed?
Yeah.
Then consult the Lord,
yeah,
on what you're doing. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about going really deep in this, like consulting the Lord on what tie to wear when you go to work, or consulting the Lord on what to have for your breakfast, or consulting the Lord on those kinds of things. If you want to, you can. I just don't tend to have time to do that kind of thing. Yeah, maybe I should. You know, what should I wear today? How to look good, not naked, is kind of consult the Lord onto what to wear, perhaps. I can't take credit for that. That was another church's website. They've got a teaching series based on how to look good, not naked. So, okay. Copyright, One Church, Gloucester. I don't want them coming back and getting me. Now, as we receive from God what it is he wants us to do, when we walk in his ways, we are blessed.
Yeah.
We've all experienced some point in our life where God speaks and we do it and we think, wow, why did I not think of that?
Yeah.
You're not God for a start, but chances are you just weren't listening to God in the first place. But as you receive from God the instruction and the direction as to what you're meant to do, and as you look through the times when Joshua does consult the Lord, the Lord gives him amazing strategies and things to how to structure themselves in the land and how to battle in the land, you know. When you go and consult the Lord, say, okay, we're going to take this first city, and God says, march round it and then blow the trumpets and blow the shofars and stuff. You're thinking, okay, I'm not sure. I wish I'd have consulted you now. It kind of sounds a little bit different. But sometimes when we consult the Lord, what he says to do is completely off the mark as to what we're thinking and how often we come to God. It's more of like we're coming to inquire the Lord and consult the Lord with our own idea, and really just hoping that God says, yeah, you got it right, carry on. And then as soon as God doesn't, it's like, you are so wrong, you need to do it this way. You're like, oh no, please. Really? You're going to get me to do that? Or this is really what you want me to do? Or this is really what you want me to say? Or this is really how you want me to do this situation? Okay, God, I'm trusting I'm going to be blessed, and I'm trusting on your word, and I'm trusting I'm walking in your way, so I'm going to do it just how you've said. I'm going to speak what you've spoken. I'm going to do what you've said to do, and I'm going to step into the fullness of the blessing that I want to see released on my life. I'm not just going to check the superficial, shallow level of seeing if the bread's moulding, seeing if the wineskins are broken, seeing if the things are working out okay. And there's a real danger in our modern day Christianity to do that, because we've kind of developed stuff so well that we're able to sit in a situation where our skills base and our technology and our own abilities can carry us so far. There's so many churches throughout the world at this moment in time that they're being carried by the very fact that they have a good skills base, they have a great finance in their accounts, and they have great gifted people, but the Lord's not blessing it at that time, especially the places that are kind of distorting the gospel a little bit, and the stuff we were hearing about Faith Camp, about the whole hyper grace and how people are being drawn to something that's not the truth. But yet something's happening because there's a skill set there, and our skill set will get us so far, but eventually we hit a point where okay, my skill set stopped, the finances stopped, what happens now? I better consult the Lord. And when we consult the Lord, we better be ready for him to turn around and say, actually, you were wrong. You need to repent, and you need to change your ways, and you need to move forward in the way that I've got for you. You need to move forward in the things that I've got for you. And that's not always an easy thing to do, but yet it's great, because you know you're going to be blessed. And just allowing that word to underscore everything, allowing that word to underscore what it is God's saying. I want to be blessed. I want to see this blessing released. I want every single day to be put out a tweet saying, hashtag blessed. Just have God provide for this, hashtag blessed. Just being strengthened by listening to this, hashtag blessed. You know, if you don't do Twitter again, don't worry about it. Just pray, I'm blessed. You know, thank you, God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. All these different things that we can. Lord, let you, I'm blessed because your spirit is invading my soul more and more each day. I'm blessed because I'm seeing the release of the truth of God in my life. I'm blessed because I've consulted of the Lord and he's given me the instruction, and I'm step by step I'm outworking that. And it is so simple. I talk about this so often when I get up here and speak about how simple the Christian life is. We complicate it so much and we throw loads of things in it. Just think, man, that is so complicated. We'll make it like a doctorate degree, when really it's nice foundation primary stuff, really. We try to make it something which is really complicated. And yes, there are elements that require some stuff to be complicated, and we require all those things, but the basis of every single thing to be blessed and to outwalk in our lives is really simple. Follow the Lord's ways, walk in his ways, you will be blessed. Simple as that. And that is how you live a blessed life, by listening to God. Okay, God, I can see this situation's happening. How do I help in that situation? What do I give into that situation? I can see that this is not going right in my life. God, what needs to change to ensure that this needs to change? God, I can see that you have placed this promise on my life, and I've been waiting for this promise. Why is it not happening?
Come on.
Perhaps
God's
going to speak and say, because you've not positioned yourself proper to release the blessing and release the promise. God's saying you're supposed to be over there to see this promise release, but you've stayed in the same place, sitting around waiting for God to do something. We just can't do that. We've got to constantly have our ears open to God and thinking about, and God does speak. You know, maybe you're here today thinking, I've never heard God speak to me. I've never heard God speaking in a way that, apart from reading the Bible and learning from that, I've never heard God speak. Maybe you're sat here and you're thinking, I've not heard God speak for a long, long time, and I have been in consulting God, and I have been inquiring of the Lord, but I just don't know what he's saying, and I'm getting a little fed up now, because it gets like that sometimes. I sometimes find myself in a situation where I can be quiet of the Lord for months and months and months, and I'm kind of saying, God, why are you not speaking to me on this situation? And I'm reading his word and I'm not getting anything. And I'm just wanting God to say, do this. do it this way and all will be fine. And that's a frustrating place to be, but yet God's still working it. God's still working it for your good. While ever you're staying steadfast and strong, he's going to work it and ensure that you're not only blessed at that point, but he sees the heart and he knows that what you're doing is you're building yourself up for that blessing and to see that blessing released. And we are blessed beyond measure.
Yeah.
Because we do have the fullness of God on the inside of us. We do have a fullness of a creator God on the inside who's just waiting for us to say, okay, God, you're the amazing one. You're the creator one. You're the one that put all these things in place. What do I do?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when you find yourself in a situation where you don't know what you're doing, you want to ask somebody that does. You want to ask somebody that knows exactly what they're doing, whether you're going on a training course or some kind of outward bound course, or you've just been asked to play in some kind of sports thing and you're like wandering around and you're like, I don't know what to do. You want to find somebody that can say, do this and do this, you'll be perfectly fine, go and do it. And that's exactly why we are blessed, because that is exactly what we have when we inquire, when we consult of God. We're asking somebody that knows.
Yeah.
We're asking somebody that knows and wants to tell you.
Yeah.
We're asking somebody that wants to release into your life the very instruction that you're looking for.
Yes.
Now, maybe in the week, I should have inquired the Lord when I was building the little Tykes mini coupe car for little heroes. That was a frustrating situation. All joking aside, the instructions just weren't there. The fact that most people, most of the women who were in the house on that day were surprised that I read the instructions. I'm a man who reads instruction and looks for instruction, whether it's an instruction manual or instruction from the Lord, but things just didn't work and it kind of went wrong and I was so frustrated by the afternoon. I was like, I hate this thing. You know, I'm going to kick this thing down the street in a minute. I hate this car. But and I'd followed the instructions, but then I got distracted, and we sometimes get distracted.
Yeah.
And I kind of eventually God turned it round, and the car is in there, and the car is great, and everything's fine. But I kind of got distracted, and then, you know, put all these snap nuts onto it, which you have to hammer, and then they're on there, and they're designed to stay on there. So when you're trying to get something off that's designed to be there, isn't very easy. So I was just like, oh, it's going to look a right mess. It's got not any hubcap. It's got one wheel with a hubcap and three without them. It looks like it's just been left parked up on a car park for a few weeks and people have stripped it down. It's like the kids aren't going to be bothered, but I am. Every time I go in there, it's going to remind me of the fact that I got distracted, that I stopped following the instructions, and I just kind of got frustrated. So I was kind of like, right, I need some instruction on this. And not from the Lord. I'm sure if I had gone to the Lord, he would have told me exactly what to do. But I'm guessing this is a blessing from God, because I felt a prompting when I got home, and I'm sat there on the sofa in my kind of little mood like I do, where Sam kind of just can tell that I'm in a bit of a mood, and she says, stop thinking about that stupid car. You're at home now, spend time with us. I was like, I can't, and I'll tell you why, because I refuse to believe that in all the years little Tykes have made those cars, I am the first person to make this mistake. I am going online and I am finding out how I get those wheel nuts off. And I was blessed, because as soon as I typed in little Tykes mini coupe car, how, the predictive Google came up, how do I remove locking wheel nuts off of the car? And there's a guide for a video on YouTube showing exactly what to do. So when the walkers were coming in on Wednesday morning, I was sat at the table with a knife and some scissors, and the employer's like, what the heck are you doing? It's like, don't ask. But praise God, it's working and it's perfectly fine. And it's turned around, the car's safe. I guess this is the point where somebody comes in and says the wheel's just fallen off a little coupe. That is not going to happen. I declare that now, that the little Tykes coupe car is safe.
Yay.
And that regardless of the child's size, as long as they're under age limit, it's going to work perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah.
So if your child's above 5, I can't be held responsible for the wheels falling off, or for yourself. I don't know, you might want to sit in it yourself and have a ride around. But it was that whole thing of, sometimes we find ourselves and we think, I'm so lost in this situation, I've made a mistake in this situation, how do I turn this around? God, I need your help. Now, yes, God can help us with situations even like getting locking wheel nuts off a mini coupe car, but he's also he wants us to be included in every single aspect of our life, the big decisions, the little decisions, the things that we struggle with, the things that he wants to see blessing released in every single part. He wants to see blessing poured out on you in a measure that you cannot even understand. We have no idea of the measure of blessing that God wants to release into our lives. We just can't comprehend it. If we could, our heads would explode. That's my theory. You know, when we start to try and think of the immensity of what God wants to release to us, and sometimes we just can't cope with it. You know, reading about stories of people who have been blessed on a certain measure, and I just think, I don't even know if I've got faith to be blessed in that way. I don't even know if I'm at that level yet. I don't think I've graduated through the ranks of the kingdom of God to be at that level. I was there Friday night listening to Reinhard Bonnke on God TV, and he was talking about some of the stuff that they see in Africa, and I'm like thinking, and he's like saying about how, you know, it started out, went to Africa thinking he was the man of power for the hour, and six people turned up to his meeting and he was kind of like totally dejected and down. And then when years and years go on and he's blessed and he's blessed and he's blessed, and he's talking about seeing 1.6 million people in one meeting, I was like thinking, how do you even find an expanse of space to like accommodate 1.6 million Africans? Like, that just sounds like absolute chaos. But how do you think of the sound system? Think of like, it's, you know. And I'm thinking, I know you want to bless me, but I'm just not at that level at this moment in time. I'm just, you know, 1.6 million turning up to one meeting, and 90% of them giving their lives to Jesus is kind of like, God, you really do that? Or even like things a bit smaller down, anybody that was at faith camp and heard Aaron Jane kind of saying to get the blessed life book, and the guy talking about this journey of being blessed, and a journey which started out as him going to a petrol station, going in to fill his car up, and the woman just saying, it's okay, it's covered, it's paid for. And you're kind of like, what do you mean it's paid for? And she's like, oh, God told me that you're an evangelist and I need to pay for your fuel. And that started a whole journey in his life of thinking, wow, God really does speak about these things. God really does speak about blessings. And I kind of got to the point where eventually he's went on this journey of giving away cars, giving away this, giving away that. And God says, give away your house, your two cars and all the money in your account, because I want to bless you. And I think, okay. And he's kind of thinking, right, I've trumped God this time. God cannot do this. God cannot overdo this. You know, I've given away both my cars, I've given away my house, and I've emptied my account. And he kind of is thinking, I know you want to bless me, God, but I think I've outdone you this time. And God releases something into his life. And I was just like, I'm not sure I've got faith for that, but either way, I'm going to get there one day. Somebody phones up and says, I feel God's telling me that I want to help you with, I should help you with your transport. So he's thinking, you know, same old story, I gave a car away, I'm going to get a car back. And he's like, yeah, fine, God, I've still got you. And I was like, I've bought you a plane. It's parked up in the airport, and I'm also paying for the hangar for it to stay in, the fuel whenever you want to use it, and I've also employed a pilot to fly it wherever you want to go. Be blessed. And I'm thinking, and I was like, God, I was telling Sam about it, and she was kind of like, I'm just not sure, you know, that, you know, somebody just saying to me, I've paid for your fuel in your car, it's kind of like amazing, but this whole, but it was a journey, it wasn't at that place, you know, God didn't just all of a sudden say, give your house, your two cars and your money away, because I want to bless you, and then blessed him with a plane and whatever else, and now he's pastoring Gateway Church over in Texas, and that's an amazing ministry. And but yet we find ourselves in situations where sometimes we need to just be ready to start out small, the whole don't despise a day of small beginnings, and letting God release those blessings into our lives, and consulting God about the little things and the big things, and expecting God to speak about both the little things and the big things, because sometimes we'll go to him with the big things when we have no idea, but he's still saying, I want you to consult me on everything. I want you to consult me on what it is that, you know, the little things that that you're struggling with today, the little things that you're finding difficult, consult me. And you may be in a place today, and I'm going to wrap it up with this, when we get to a place where we're consulting, inquiring of the Lord, but we just don't know what God's saying, and we're going to pray into that today, and we're going to get the worship team up right now. The blessed worship team, thank you guys. And we're going to worship, and if you know that you're in a place at this moment in time where you want to be blessed, I'm sure you all are. If I didn't say, do you want to be prayed because you want to be blessed, I'm sure I'd have everybody. But you're in a place where you know you want to see God's blessing released, and you know you want to see what God is saying about this situation, a certain point, in things that you're struggling with, then I want to pray for you this morning. I'm going to get Faye and Steve to come and join me as well. We're going to pray for you this morning just to stand with you and to see God release something in your life to say, I want to see this blockage broken because I want to hear what God's saying. I want to be blessed. And I'm obeying his commands because I know what they are. But I'm kind of a bit, it's a bit tricky figuring out how to walk in his ways because I just don't know what he's saying from my personal situation. And we've all been in that place. We've all been in a situation. Sometimes we find ourselves in that place daily. God, I don't know what you are saying in this situation. So let's just, as we're worshipping, if you want to come forward, we just stand with you in prayer, pray for you, just to see that blockage removed and to see God, yeah, really speak into your life, that when you do consult and you do inquire of the Lord, that he's able to release into your life what it is he's saying, that there'll be a clarity in the spirit to be able to hear what God is saying to you, that when you're in a situation you're just thinking God's not speaking, we just want to stand with you today so that you can be blessed. You are blessed. As I said, you're blessed if you've got the Holy Spirit and you've got Jesus on the inside of you. You're blessed anyway because you've got the Creator God operating on the inside of you. But God has got so much more blessing to release into you, blessing to pour out into you, and to release more of that and to be able to hear what he's saying so that you can say, God, your servant's listening. Tell me what to do. Because I'm ready to step into more of this amazing life I've got for you. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. But I just need to know what it is that you're saying. And we all get into that place sometimes. We all find ourselves in a situation where we just don't seem to be able to get through. The phone line between us and God seems a little blocked and a little distorted. So we're going to start worshipping. And just as we're worshipping, if you know that you're here today and you're just thinking, you know, yeah, that was great to hear that stuff, but I really need to see a breakthrough to be able to hear from God, then do come forward. Let myself, Fail, pray with any of the ladies that come forward. Me and Steve will pray with the guys who come forward. So just see a release in your life, and just to trust God that he's going to break something this morning in your life that's causing a blockage, and be able to hear what he's saying. Let's all stand and let's worship.